So glad you're here tonight. I want you to open your Bible with me to the New Testament, to the book of Luke, the book of Luke. We're finishing a series tonight on the heart of worship, the heart of worship. Can you say that with me? The heart of worship. You know, I believe, and I know you agree, that the closer we get to God, the better our life will be. The closer we get to God, the better our life will be. Can you say that with me? The closer we get to God, the better our life will be. You know, we understand that as we get closer to God, it will affect every area of our life. And tonight, no matter what you're going through, and I know you're going through something, no matter what you're going through, the answer for your marriage, for your relationships, for your health, for your career, for your finances, for your budget, the answer for everything is get closer to God. Just get a little bit closer to God every day of our life, and our life will be better off because of it. Last Wednesday night, I gave you the illustration, the story right at the very beginning. There are people that we have in our life that just being around them, because we're around them, we're better off. They leave us better than they found us. Come on now, you got people like that in your life. And last Wednesday night, I gave you the story of one of my friends called, his name is Paul. He's one of my elders. And Paul is on my advisory board. Paul has been a friend of our ministry for over 20 years. He lives in the state of Washington, and he is such a blessing. Every time I'm around Paul, I feel better. Every time that he sends me a card or he sends me a text message, or every time I'm around him, the closer I get to him, the better off my life is. He brings the best out of me. Well, that's what we've been talking about for these Wednesday nights for the whole month of September, is that the closer we get to God, the better off our life will be. Now, one of the ways that you and I get closer to God is through worship. It's through worship. So with that in mind, let's look at Luke chapter 4 and verse 8. Luke 4, verse 8, on the screen, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written." And notice, Jesus fought the devil with the word of God. Jesus fought the devil with the word of God. That's how you and I are to do spiritual warfare every day of our life, is speak, declare, and confess God's word in every situation. We respond with the word. We react with the word. We stand on the word. We embrace the word. We hold fast to the word until we see the victory manifested in every area of our life. Amen, church? So he said, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord your God, and him only will you serve." I've given you two words to highlight. The first is worship, and the second is serve. You know, for you dream teamers, isn't that one of our power phrases? Worship one, serve one. Well, right there is where we get that from. Notice that worship comes before service. What does that mean? That our service or our ministry comes out of our worship unto God. So that's why here at Church on the Rock, for our dream team, who we love and honor, that's our volunteers, is that we want them, if they can only come to one service a week, we want them to sit in worship and not serve. Because you see, if all they do is come to one service a week and they serve, I appreciate their heart, but you know what? They'll burn out. And as their pastor, who loves them and cares about them, I don't want them to burn out. I don't want them to be throwaways and discarded and backslide, and after a few months, we don't see them in church anymore. So right there, it's scriptural. Worship one, serve one. Notice that he said worship before he said service. Out of my worship, out of my relationship, out of my solitude, out of my quiet time with God, flows my service. If I try to serve without God's power, I'll do it in the energy of the flesh, and that will only last for so long. We want everybody at our church, on our dream team, all of our volunteers, to finish strong and finish well, and God say to them in heaven, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So we've been looking at that. So how do we worship God? We talked about the four different levels of worship. And we said the first level is that we thank him for what he has done. We thank him for what he has done. Tomorrow morning when I get up, first thing I'm going to do is begin to thank the Lord for what he has done. Hasn't he done great things in your life? Don't we need a blessing list? Don't we need a list that we can look at and focus on, fix our mind on every good and perfect thing that God's done in our life? The lion, the bear, to face Goliath. So the first level is we're thanking him for what he's done. The second level of worship is we thank him for what he's doing. Folks, you have to see God moving in your circumstances. You have to believe that he's working behind the scenes tonight for you. That as you're honoring him tonight by coming and bringing your family to church, God's doing his part and he's working behind the scenes. And he's bringing everything together for your good. You have to say, let God arise and my enemies be splattered. The enemy of depression, the enemy of oppression, the enemy of lack, anxiety, worry, not enough, insecurity, all those enemies, if we'll let God arise, wow, he'll take care of them and all your enemies will be scattered. In the children's church, they say splattered, okay? So that's the second level. The third level is we thank God in worship. We thank God for what he has said, for what he has said. You know, let God be true and every man a liar for what he has said. Pastor, I don't understand. I'm new to the church. What do you mean? What he said? Well, the Bible. There are over 7,000 promises in the Bible. You need to get to know the Bible through a daily Bible reading plan. So you'll find a promise for your problem. And you'll begin to thank God for that. Such as, oh, I thank you tonight, God, for what you said. I'm facing all kinds of challenges and obligations, but God, you said, I thank you that you said you would supply all my needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. You might be here tonight and you feel, you know, insufficient for parenting, insufficient for your job, for your position where you work, insufficient in what God's calling you to do. You don't feel like you're qualified. You don't feel like you have enough or you know enough. You can say, Father, I thank you for what you said in your word. We're thanking God for what he has said. You said, I can. I'm going to be an I can person. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4 and verse 13. And then the highest level, tomorrow morning I'm going to do this. I encourage you to do it because what you do the first 7 minutes of your day determines your day. This is the day that God has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a choice, isn't it? It's an attitude. The highest level of worship is thanking God for who he is. Just thanking God for who he is. Do you know that I have a book in my library on just praying the names of God? We're not talking about praying scriptures, the prayer that availeth much book, resource, Jermaine Copeland. We're talking about, I've got a book in my library. It's this thick, and it's called Praying the Names of God. There are so many different names in the Bible that refer to God, and each name reveals his nature. And as you begin to thank him and praise him for who he is, he's your source, El Shaddai. You begin to praise him for that. He's your healer, Jehovah Rapha. You begin to praise him for who he is. You see how this works, church? So that's the different levels of worship. And through worship, we get a little closer to God. And the closer we get to God, what happens? The better off our life will be. Is that right? Amen. All right, so let's go to the next scripture. I want to go to James chapter 1 and verse 5 and 6. Now, we love the scripture. That's so awesome. And tonight, if you need help, then ask God. If you need wisdom, you need to know how to do something, you don't know how to do it, then ask God. But I want to bring something out. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously. What kind of a God do we have? A generous God. What kind of offsprings does he want? Generous church, generous people. And how many of you know generosity is not automatic We weren't born with it. We have to learn to be generous. So he said, if you need wisdom, ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. I want to bring something to your attention. If you need wisdom, you should ask God. Everybody say, ask God. Say it one more time, ask God. Just one more time, ask God. Actually, in the Greek language, the picture here is this. Through drawing closer to God, ask Him. By drawing closer to God, ask Him. So it's not just flippantly microwave prayer. It's not a hurried prayer. It's not a rushed prayer. That what it's actually talking about is through drawing closer to God, He'll begin to show you what to do. Drawing closer to God, He'll begin to show you what to do. Pastor, I don't know how I'm going to meet these bills. Pastor, I don't know what I'm going to do with my kids. Pastor, I don't know how I'm going to get along with my husband. Pastor, I don't know what I'm going to do at work. There's so much conflict and strife. What am I going to do? Worship God. How do you worship God? Through the heart of surrender. Remember, the heart of worship is a heart of surrender. And so what you're doing is you're surrendering all the things that are going on in your life to God, and you're worshiping with that heart of surrender. You're getting closer to God. Work on getting closer to God every day of your life, and your life will begin to get better every day of your life. So we said that the heart of worship is a heart of surrender. Let's go to Mark chapter 8. The heart of worship is a heart of surrender. The word surrender, it means to yield. Doesn't the Bible say that we must decrease so He can increase? We must decrease so He can increase. Doesn't the Bible say that if we will humble ourselves, He will exalt us in due time? It sure does. So surrender means to submit. Submit. What does the Bible say in James chapter 4? Submit yourself unto God, then resist the devil. So I can live a strained life or a struggling life, or choose to live a surrendered life. I can live a strained life, a stressed out life, a struggling life every day, or I can choose to live a surrendered life. And, you know, I shared with you last week, you know, I like Bob Dylan, his songs, and Daniel has given me about every Bob Dylan song that was written on iTunes. And, you know, he said, everybody's going to serve somebody. See, every one of us are surrendering to something. We're surrendering to peer pressure. We're surrendering to our past. We're giving up. The word surrender means to yield or to give up. We're surrendering to something. We're serving something. We all have an idol. We all are serving something. We all are surrendering to our past, or we're surrendering to resistance, or we're surrendering to pressure, or we're surrendering to problems, or we're surrendering to obstacles in the way. All of us are surrendering to something or someone. Our friends, the culture, our community, the people around us, whatever's going on, pop culture, we're surrendering to something. Why don't we surrender to God? Why don't we make God God in our life? And you know what? There'll be less stress, less strain, less struggle if we'll surrender everything to God. You see, surrender, yield, submit yourself unto God, and resist the devil. There's power in surrendering your life, your problems, your family, your hobbies, your job, your career, your resources, everything in your life. When you surrender to God, you are releasing the power of God in your life. He said, submit yourself to God, give in to God, align your life to God, and then you have the power to stand up and resist the devil, and he has to flee from you. Now, look what it says here. I love this in the Living Bible. He called his disciples. Now, what is a disciple? A lifelong learner. He called his disciples and the crowds and came over and said, listen, if any of you want to be my follower, he said, you must put aside your own pleasure and shoulder your cross. Put aside your own pleasure. What is he saying? You must surrender your life, your agenda, your hobbies, your relationships, your family, your kids, your date, your friends. You must surrender it all to him. And then he says, pick up your cross. Your cross is your calling. Your cross is your calling. Your cross is your assignment. Pick it up and follow me how? Oh, I love it. Closely. What have I been saying all night, all month? The closer you get to God, the better off you will be, your family will be, your life will be. The closer you get to God, less stress, less strain, less struggle, and more success. Through surrender, giving up your pain, giving up your past, giving up your hurts, giving up your addictions, giving up your failures, giving up your mistakes, and surrendering them all to God. And when you do that, you are surrendering a lower life for an abundant life. A lower life for an abundant life. The life that we have planned out for ourselves is much more inadequate, inferior to the abundant life that God has planned for each and every one of us. How do I go from less than God's best to God's very best? How do I go from less than God's best to God's very best? I do it through a heart of worship. I do it through surrender, through submitting, through yielding, through giving up everything to God. Look what happens, the result. Next verse, verse 35, please. It goes, if you insist on saving your life, in other words, if we want our own way, do our own thing, have our own agenda, run our own race, he said, you're going to lose your life. What does that mean? You'll lose the life that God prearranged, planned, and destined before you were ever born for you. You'll lose the best. You'll lose the abundant life. You'll lose the platform, the potential, the influence, the favor that God has planned for you by struggling with God, arguing with God, arbitrating with God, negotiating with God, fussing with God, rebelling with God. You know, we're going to lose the life that God intended for us to live. Why waste our life? Why live with second best? Why barely get by? Why struggle? Why strain? Why live stressed out when we can live the abundant life through a heart of worship, through an act of surrender? Am I helping anybody tonight? Can we have a Selah moment right now? Just give the Lord your praise and worship right now. Amen, amen, amen. So if you insist on saving your own life, you'll lose it. Only those who throw away their life, only those who lay their life down for the cause, only those that realize that the life we plan for ourselves, or maybe even our parents plan for us, or those that are leaders, influencers in our life that plan for us, until we throw it down, until we surrender it, until we submit it, until we give it up for God, we'll never truly know what we were created to do. We'll never truly live out the identity and the destiny, the identity and the destiny that God has planned for us. It's called an abundant life, an abundant life. He said, until you throw away your life for my sake and the sake of the gospel, you will never know. You'll never know. Church, y'all see that? You'll never know what it means to really, really, really live. We'll never really know the life. We'll never really know the influence. We'll never really know the potential. We'll never really know the legacy and the impact and leaving a mark on our generation and building trees and planting trees for the next generation to enjoy the shade. We'll never really know who we could have been, what we could have done, who we could have known, where we could have gone, what we could have accomplished, as long as we hang on to what we think is best, what we think it's our agenda, it's our life, it's our stuff, you know, until we throw it away, until we throw it down, until we submit it, surrender it, and give it up to God, we'll never really experience the abundant life. Oh my goodness. Next verse, verse 36. And what does a man benefit if he gains the whole world and he loses his soul in the process? That's amazing, isn't it? Now, what I want to do is surrender. I want to give you some just simple practical takeaways before we're done tonight on how we do and what we do and things we can do. I gave you the different levels of worship. I've told you in the last few weeks, I've given you different points how to have a heart of worship, which is to surrender your life, submit, yield, give it up, throw it away, because the life we've planned for ourselves is so inferior and adequate compared to the life that God has planned for us. Amen. God is for you, so who can dare be against you? God wants you and I to live every day and maximize our day and be phenomenal, yes, today. So let me just show you some scriptures. You know, in our church, I want you to go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. In our church, if you're new to our church, and our way of worship that you see here is new to you, let me explain just a couple of things. You know, I remember when I first went to church, I gave my heart to Christ when I was 11 years old, and it was an Assembly of God church. And how that happened was we moved into this new town, our family. I was 11 years old, and the pastor of this Assembly of God church, he had this list of newcomers in the city, and he and one of the deacons would go out and visit the new families in the city. Okay? It's a small town. So they came one night to our house. We never met him before. I'm 11 years old, and I'm sitting there, and the pastor and the deacon talks to my family, my parents, invites us to church. So my mom and dad take us, me, my brother and sister, to church that following weekend. Actually, that following weekend, on that Sunday, I was in church, and there was a tug in my heart. I'm 11 years old, and when the pastor gave the altar call, I went to the altar at 11 and surrendered my life to Christ. I surrendered not my will, but thy will. I must decrease so you can increase. Less of me, more of you. I want to humble myself so you can exalt me, God. I want to throw away my life so I can pick up my calling and cross and follow you closely, because the closer I get to you, God, the better off my life will be. And so that's at age 11, okay? At 11 years old. And so when we went to church, that it was a Pentecostal church. Assemblies of God is a Pentecostal denomination. And I had never been in a church like that before. Now, my parents had. My father's parents, my grandparents, my grandmother, she was Pentecostal through and through, okay? But I'd never been to a church where they clapped and where they stood and lifted their hands. And I'm thinking, what is all this lifting of the hands? Did you know that the lifting of the hands is a universal sign of surrender? So if you're new to our church, or if you've been coming for a long time and you say, I just don't get it, raising my hands, I don't feel like raising my hands. You know, most of the times in our worship service, I don't feel like raising my hands either, but I do it as an act of obedience. And I know that motion will set into motion. Action will beget action. In other words, if I'll just begin to do what I know is right biblically and begin to tell my body, and surrender my body and emotions, surrender my body and emotions, surrender my body, emotions, and feelings to God, that my feelings will change, my emotions will change, that things will get better. And so the lifting of the hands is an act of universal surrender. What are we talking about tonight? The heart of worship. What is that? A heart that is surrendered. Look here at 1 Timothy 2:8. I will, therefore, that men and women pray everywhere, lifting up what? Lifting up holy hands. It's an act of surrender. So when the praise team says, you know, let's just lift our hands and worship the Lord, what are they doing? They're trying to get us closer to God. They're trying to get us to do an outward act that will impact us internally, an act of faith, because it says do it without wrath. That means anger, resentment, and doubting. So we're to lift our hands and not be mad because anybody asked us to do it. We're to lift our hands and make sure that our attitude is holy and right, and we're not upset or mad or offended at anybody. And then we're also to lift up our hands, what, without doubting. What does that mean? We're to do it in faith. What does that mean? Knowing the messages I've taught you all month on surrender, knowing the benefits of surrender. When we lift our hands and we worship God, what are we saying? God, I surrender. God, I surrender today my problems I came with, my stress and my struggles. And I surrender all the things I'm straining at, trying to make it happen. It's not happening. My frustrations. Oh, God, I don't feel like it. But God, as an act of worship, God, I surrender to you today my pain, my past, my present. And what's going to happen? What's going to happen? The benefits that I've been teaching on you too, all of them, all month long. Transformation. So this is the will of the Father. This is the will of God, that we lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Let's look at a couple more scriptures. Psalm 63, verse 1 through 6. Now, there are different Hebrew words for worship, and the Hebrew word for lifting up your hands is yada, Y-A-D-A-H, yada. It's actually right here, O God, you are my God. Earnestly will I seek you. My inner self thirsts for you. My flesh longs and is faint for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Next verse. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary to see your what? Power, life-giving, life transformation, welcome home, power and your glory. Next verse. Because your loving kindness is better than life, so my lips shall praise you out loud, lips praising out loud. Next verse, verse 5. Okay, so I will bless you while I live. Verse 4. Let's go back to verse 4, please. So I will bless you while I live. I will lift up what? So there we see the praising of the lips. And here it says, I will lift up who? I will. Act of my will. Heart of surrender. Universal surrender. God, the pain, the stress, the struggle, the hurt, the offense. God, I'm going to lift up my hands, holy hands, without wrath and without doubt. I'm expecting, I'm believing, I've got faith. I'm releasing my faith when I lift up my hands. It's scriptural, it's biblical, it's the power of surrender. I will lift up my hands in your nature. I look at you. I'm worshiping you for who you are. Highest level of worship. Next verse. My whole being. Look at the result. My whole being will be satisfied. My whole being will be satisfied. What are you doing? You're giving your life away. You're giving up. You're surrendering. You're yielding. You're throwing away your life for the life that God has for you. The devil has a life plan for you. Your adversaries have a life plan for you. The skeptics, the cynics have a life plan for you. Your enemies want you to fail, but God has a higher life. God has an abundant life. And the only way and the only road is the road of surrender. The road of surrender. So I just shared a couple of scriptures. And in closing, let me give you four takeaways. Okay? It'll be on the screen. The guys will have it for you. I encourage you to take a picture with your smartphone. You get it right away. Surrender. Number one, it requires spiritual warfare. Doesn't it? It requires spiritual warfare because the devil has a life plan for you and he wants to steal, kill, and destroy from you. And God has a plan for your life. There's a spiritual warfare going on, you know, for your life. The devil wants you to live a lower life and God wants you to live an abundant life. Number two, it releases, notice they all start with R, so we better retain it. It releases supernatural power. So when you and I worship God with a heart of surrender, it releases supernatural power. Do you remember? Submit, surrender yourself to God, then resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So it releases supernatural power. Tomorrow morning when I get up and I say, God, you know, I'm in the shower. I surrender my life to you. I surrender this day to you. I surrender my pressure, my problems, the pain, the hurt, the struggle. I surrender it to you. What does that do? It releases supernatural anointing and power. Number three, as the team comes out, it requires a daily routine, which is I die daily. It requires a daily routine. You got to get into a routine. The Apostle Paul said, I die daily. He went on to say in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the life that I live, I no longer live, for I'm crucified with Christ. And it's Christ in me that lives. We want to throw away that inferior, inadequate life. We want to throw away that life that the world, the devil, the flesh has planned for us. We want to lay it down so we can have the abundant life. And how does that happen? I surrender my weekends to God. I surrender my time to God. I surrender my talent to God. I surrender my treasure to God. I surrender my future to God. I surrender my occupation, my career, and my education to God. And then number four, you will reach your potential.